Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Shoujo Podcast. It's your hosts, Sarah and Joe, here to finish up our coverage of My Happy Marriage. I am so happy to be done with the show. Marriage is not an part of the equation yet. And we have a special guest. There's a cat in Joe's apartment. That's exciting. I'm just excited to see a cat that's going to walk by your chair every now and again. I'm going to not scream cat every time I see it, but I will be distracted.
Yes.
Welcome, everyone. And hi, Joe.
Hello. Yeah, my girlfriend's cat is here because there was a snowstorm here in the Midwest and also part of the South in the U.S. And it trapped a bunch of things, including, well, my girlfriend briefly, but she was able to drive back, but she didn't want to take her cat in the car, that might get stuck if it didn't make it back. So I'm on cat duty for the next couple of days until she can come pick him up. Yep, so I'm here with Jumi.
Where is he?
Oh. Gonna hold him up. I don't know where he is. He's somewhere. He's just lurking. He's an old cat, so he just kind of hangs out all day.
He's an old cat. I mean, all cats should just be left to their own devices. They just do them.
Yeah. You know, he just hangs out. He's cool. He's chill. He's just doing whatever, you know?
How romantic, being stuck in a snowstorm together.
It almost worked out, except she forgot her work laptop, so she had to leave Monday morning. Yeah.
That's the same thing that happened to me, and luckily I can do a lot of work from my phone, and then I was stuck at my parents' place, which I should have just left. I should have risked. I didn't want to spend my whole weekend there, and then I did, but my brother had a VR headset. I had a call I needed to be on, so luckily I had that, but I am so happy to be back home. You know, it's crazy how you grow up with a family, and then once you're an adult, it's like, how did I survive living with these people every single day?
Yeah. It can be a lot when you go home and you're like, man, I am so not used to being around these people all the time.
Yes. Yep.
Well, I have a funny cat story.
Oh, yes.
About when we were bringing Jumi over. So we were bringing everything over on Saturday. So the storm was supposed to hit Saturday night. Then it just kind of continued all through Sunday, where it just kind of dumped snow nonstop. And I was going to my first, I am taking Mandarin classes. This is going to go to my first Mandarin class. The only class I can take that's like available to me is actually a Taiwanese version class. So they're going to teach all the complicated stuff, complicated character set, let me say. So I'm going to my first class. But before that, we're taking Jumi to Petco to get some vaccines. Because it's like his yearly vaccines or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So we load up the car. We're kind of running behind. We're able to drive to the Petco. They are kind of like backed up in a weird way because it's like not. It's kind of just they're kind of just doing this in the middle of the aisle.
Yeah, the vet clinics within Petco. I have never attended them myself, but I feel like sometimes the quality of care can vary location to location.
Yeah, because my girlfriend was saying that like she used to do it where she used to live, and they had like an entire back room for it. Basically, they had like part of the facility had that stuff in it. So she was kind of surprised they were just kind of throwing this together. So they were kind of backed up. So we were running a little bit behind, which means instead of me going back to my apartment, they were just going to drop me off at the class.
Uh-huh.
So I went to Target and bought, you know, a notebook and a pen because I didn't have that stuff. And I got ready for my first day at school. And we're driving over there, and I have Jumi in my lap because she has stuff in the back, like, you know, his litter box and things like that. And, you know, we're driving there. I'm getting out of the car because I'm about to be late. It's really cold outside, so I'm not really noticing things. You know, I take Jumi off my lap in his little crate and put him back onto the chair on his little crate, and I go inside. And I find where the class is because it's like 1 minute until it starts. And I go in and I sit down and I look down my leg and I'm like, why is my leg all wet? And it turns out, at first I was like, well, I don't smell anything. So maybe it was just like, it hit some snow or something, because it, you know, it was a little stuff like that. But then it started to dry and it started to smell really bad, because it turns out Jumi had peed all over me. So I'm sitting in my first day of class, like, covered in cat pee, and I can't
leave. And they all started calling you piss boy or something.
Yeah.
Taiwanese or something.
Yeah. So basically, so, like, I had to sit there for 30 minutes until my girlfriend could come pick me up, and I had to leave school early. So that was my adventure.
First impressions. Yes. Nice.
And then we had to go and clean that off. So kind of a mess.
You didn't feel it when it happened? It's normally warm.
It was not warm, like, because I was getting out of the car and, like, moving around and stuff like that.
Oh, you think it happened as you were, okay.
I think it happened as I was taking him out.
Gotcha.
So.
Yeah, cats do stuff in unfamiliar situations sometimes. You know, when I first got Moxie, she just straight up jumped into the bed, took a piss, and at first it was like, ooh, nice and warm, and then it's like, ah, wait, what is that? So they just take, sometimes they act out while they get settled, but maybe he's not a fan of the car.
No. So that's how I started the weekend.
Nice. Now you're the best of buds.
Yeah.
After he set you up for failure.
Yep. So that's how my weekend went.
You don't think he thinks you're like a rival?
No. He's pretty
for
chill.
Affection? No? Okay.
He likes me. Also, I give him treats, so he likes me.
Nice.
Yeah. The classic pet move. But yeah.
Uh-huh.
Other than that, not much else is going on. I finished one of my books for book club. We read The Invisible Life of Audie LaRue. I gave it, I think, a 3 out of 10. Pretty boring.
Damn.
Nobody in my group liked that book, but other people did. And maybe they're just more romantics at heart.
Picks it and everyone hates it. It's like, boo, how could you do this? Like, we're skipping your turn to pick next time. You've failed us.
I feel like all of us have picked a book that nobody liked, and usually the person who picked it liked it the least. So that's just how we're going. This book club that I'm in, that specific one, is batting pretty low. Like, we're batting like an average of like a 5 or 6, which I guess is average, which is what you expect. But it's been kind of rough. The last couple ones have like averaged pretty low.
Well, I mean, you can't only read good stuff. You gotta read bad stuff to appreciate the good stuff, I guess.
Yeah. No, we gotta get the...
Just like this show! You gotta watch the bad stuff to appreciate the good stuff. Nope. It's fine. Nope. I don't hate it as much as I did when we started, but hot on it.
Yeah.
Joe's like, how could you?
Listen, it's just like that, you know?
He wasn't ready for that segue.
I was not ready for that segue.
Sorry. I don't really have anything of note to say on my end.
Nothing
of what I've been doing.
Did you get snowed
stuff
in?
Going down at work.
Did you lose power?
Did you get iced?
What happened?
Nope. Just ice. So it just basically just made it so it was dangerous to drive.
Okay.
Because we don't have the infrastructure here. But like, everything wasn't, nothing was broken when I got back to my place either. So all clear. Way better than the ice storm we got a few years ago.
That's pretty good.
That's a win.
We got like 10 inches here or so. So it like goes deep. You like step in it, you like sink through.
Yeah, no, we just got like, the ground's slick. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, kind of cold. Well, it's cold for us, but not cold compared to other, it was like the 20 degrees.
I see.
Which isn't that bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't been doing, I don't know. You've been watching anything? How's the Survivor going?
It's good. I haven't really made any progress. I did try to get my mom to watch Sense8, which is a show from Netflix that I super enjoyed watching. And I was like, that's a good show. We're all stuck together. Let's try and watch this. Which I don't know if it's by the Wachowskis. I quite enjoy it. It just has some scandalous parts, but We did watch Weapons, which I hadn't seen.
Okay.
And then we also watched Get Out, which I had not seen. So I watched both of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I heard so many good things about Get Out that maybe it was overhyped to me. I was like, yeah, this is fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. That's fine. Or it wasn't super scary. But
yeah, it's not super scary.
And then Weapons was fine as well.
I was indifferent towards Weapons. It's very long.
Yeah, the Naruto run-ish. Mm-hmm. It was fine.
Yeah.
They do kind of Naruto run. that guy should have been severed in half getting hit by a car. Just saying, I feel like that's not how that works.
It's very goofy at the end, I feel like, in terms of like B horror movie stuff.
Yes.
Which is kind of fun, but also it's like, why was the beginning like that if the end was like this?
Yeah, not the most likable cast.
Whatever.
Yeah, it was fine. We watched The Day After Tomorrow. Oh, I love that movie.
Oh, I've never seen that.
It was like, let's get in the
Yeah, it's like a whole series, right? Or no. Is it 28 Days Later?
That's Left Behind is the one you're thinking of.
Yeah, all right.
The Rapture. Oh, yeah. Series. Definitely,
it's like everything freezes over or something, right?
Yeah, I freaking love that movie. It's Roland Emmerich or whatever. It's got Jake Gyllenhaal and then the chick from Shameless and Dennis Quaid. I quite like it. It's, you know, kind of cheesy, over the top, whatever, but it's a good one to watch while you're snowed in and people are freaking out over things maybe excessively.
Oh, you know what did watch? I watched two movies. One, I watched Metropolis, the 1927 movie.
Okay. And I feel like my podcast covered that at some point.
Metropolis?
That familiar to me.
It's a very famous movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Black and white. A silent movie.
Mm. Was there a remake recently? I think I'm thinking that wasn't there like a remake last year, a year before or something? Metropolis that came?
Megalopolis?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
I think that's it. There was a movie. Is it Megalopolis? Yeah. The Coppola movie that he like put a bajillion dollars in and was weird and nobody really liked it.
Yeah, that must be what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it is. I didn't see that, so I don't know if it's based on that or anything.
Gotcha.
It's got gold buildings, which makes me think that maybe.
Well, tell me about Metropolis.
It's long. It's really long. We watched the long version where they like found 22 minutes of extra footage because this is old and
tacked it on.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting, though. Like, it's very ambitious visually, I think, is like kind of the really interesting part. And it doesn't, you know, it's like almost 100 years, right? So it like Kyle, it looks just, a lot of the set pieces look pretty good. And like a lot of the stuff they did was really interesting. But it's very long.
Toll. The movie seemed crazy back in the day when it was like studios owned everything and you're like trapped forever in your contract. It seems like a scary time to work in Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It was weird. It was pretty cool. I don't know. Like there's sequence of it, like segments of it that are really fun. The way they like make the like working on this big bizarre machine was pretty cool. It's like early like visual sci-fi stuff. So they like set the trends for a lot of things. It's interesting to watch.
Nice.
But I wouldn't watch it again.
What's the other one you watched?
And then as part of our Disney watching, where me and my friends are watching all of the Disney animated movies in release order, we just watched Oliver and Company, which means we have reached the Disney Renaissance next, and we're watching The Little Mermaid. So we're very excited.
I like Oliver and Company. That one was good. Was it not good? I remember liking it.
No, it was pretty good. I think we all liked it pretty well. A lot of them hadn't seen it before.
Yeah, I don't think it was one that hit widely, but it was one I had seen. For sure.
Yeah, it did well at the box office. Like, it was a successful movie, but it doesn't loom large in like the Disney canon.
Legacy.
But I think I had it on like VHS or something because I remembered it pretty well.
Yeah, anytime I see any of the cars with like the little thing, the logo like being like lifted and like a little figurine at the edge of the car, like I always think Oliver and Company, the bad guy when they're like chasing them with the big car and the Doberman or whatever.
Yeah,
the good one. I think. Isn't there a famous guy who's like the voice?
Yeah. So Billy Joel is Dodger, who's like the cool dog.
Yeah.
And he also sings a song, right? Because it's Billy Joel. It's very weird to be like, I understand. Like, I know people always like point to the like Robin Williams celebrity casting as Genie in Aladdin as like that starting the trend of like celebrities being cast for like voice roles, even though they may not be that good at it.
Yeah.
But Billy Joel was Dodger, so I don't know. I'm like, this is kind of already happening, it feels like. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Memorable.
No, it was good. It was pretty good. A lot of, like, early
stereotypes.
CG.
Of the dogs. Oh.
I think there was CG, or it's like they filmed like an object and like rotated the camera around it. Cause there's a lot of like panning shots where it's like a 3D object that looks like it was made in CAD or something. Cause it's like a little too static as opposed to the rest of the stuff that's being drawn like in the 2D form. Mm. There's a couple of really fun, like interesting shots where that happens. So that's
pretty
funny.
You guys all need to go on a Disney cruise and crush trivia now that you're all fresh off watching all these movies.
I don't remember any of them. We're not fresh off it. This is like year something, like two or three of us doing this. I don't remember the early stuff at all.
You only started talking about it like last year on the pod.
Yeah.
I guess the really early movies are real bad or didn't want to talk about them or something.
I mean, the early movies that are good are like, you know, Snow White and Pinocchio, and then you get into like Dumbo and you remember how racist it is in the middle and you're like, oh right. And then there's a lot of like, you know, Make Mine Music or whatever, which is just like, what is this? So yeah, there's a lot of not great ones in the middle there. I will say the ones I hadn't seen before, which are The Rescuers, which it turns out I had not seen.
So good.
Which is pretty good.
Great.
Yeah, I like that one. We also watched The Black Cauldron, which was just like a totally bizarre movie. Like it wasn't good,
seen
but
that
it was
one,
very
but
weird.
Yeah, that was like almost that was the bad time for animation Disney. Is this one? Because I feel like I listened to whenever like DreamWorks spawned off Disney, Pixar spawned off Disney, and then DreamWorks was kind of in spite of Disney, I think. But like I feel like
I don't remember which movie it was, but there was a certain, maybe it was The Fox and the Hound, where Don Bluth leaves and like his crew and they go and start the whatever their company was called, and that's when they make like the secret
made,
of
like,
Nim and like all dogs go to heaven and that, like, that's that group.
All the freaking downer ass movies. Those are both great movies.
Yeah, so they go off and do their own stuff, which feels kind of Disney adjacent because a lot of them work there.
Yeah.
DreamWorks? I don't know. When did that start?
Well, it's like really someone, know. Like...
Let's see here.
Was mad at someone, or they, like, left Disney... Or that, some... There's
a
some...
lot of studios start that way. It seems like they're, like, the Toei or whatever, the big animation, old animation studios in Japan are just like that, too. Like how a bajillion people came out of Gainax. Their
Spite
first movie was Ant.
For DreamWorks?
You and Ant was DreamWorks' first feature film.
Wait, Ants with a Z at the end?
Yeah.
I never watched that, but that looked creepy to me.
Okay. I need to know when this started.
There's the podcast What Went Wrong talks about Shrek and that they cover kind of the inception of DreamWorks.
Oh, you know, okay, so this is a film. So DreamWorks film studio by Steven Spielberg, Jeffrey Katzenberg, and David Geffen. Yes, I forget how, like, involved Spielberg is in, like, animated stuff for a while.
Well, he tried to have, like, Anne Berlin. So there was, like, a animation wing of Anne Berlin Entertainment at some point. Uh-huh. But that got cut. They made, what did they make? They made, like, one thing and then
Amberlin? Is that what it's called? Amber?
What was Spielberg's? Amberlin Entertainment, right? Amblin, right?
Amblin.
With the ET logo. And
Amblin,
they had an animation arm at some point, and they made something, and then it closed.
Spielberg and Don Bluth partnered to produce animated feature films, with only the two films that were made were An American Tale and The Land Before Time. Okay.
Yeah. Which I remember...
Oh,
well,
wait,
obviously
that's
time
the
Amblin deer, but
Amblin established their own animation unit, Amblimation.
Yeah, I was like, it was some kind of pun.
The only three films that were released under the Amblimation banner were An American Tale, Feifel Goes West, so the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
We're Back, A Dinosaur Story.
Oh, I fucking love that movie.
And Balto.
It's a good ass movie. Oh, Balto, see? Yeah, okay. Good stuff, man. Ugh. Balto. We already talked about this. So I was like, Balto's voice. Hot.
Balto, yeah.
Kevin Bacon's voice.
Kevin Bacon's voice. Oh.
Man.
Yeah, so yeah, yep. Listener, we're not just watching anime animation. I also am watching Western animation. And by that, I mean the biggest company ever that has consumed everything. So. But I'm not watching all of the spinoffs. Like, I'm not watching The Brave Little Toaster from that one studio and all that other stuff.
Oh, what? The Brave Little Toaster is so good.
Uh-huh.
Blanky can take a hike, though. So annoying. Like, wah, wah, go away, dude. Oh, Brave Little Toaster Goes to Space or whatever. That's good, too. Oh.
What? Brave Little Toaster Goes to Mars? I've never heard of this.
Yeah, I remember. It's good. They like attach a ceiling fan to like a laundry basket, and that's how they get carried to space or something. I can't remember exactly, but I liked that one too.
There's three of these. There's the Brave Little Toaster, the Brave Little Toaster to the Rescue, which has the Disney logo on it because they released it. Okay. And then Brave Little Toaster Goes to Mars.
Or something about like a freezer. There's like a freezer. Vague memories of that, but.
Yeah, this is weird.
Tough to compete with Disney at that time in animation, I imagine.
Yeah, that would be hard. It's kind of, you know, animation is notoriously a difficult thing to kind of get into at scale. Takes a lot of money.
Yeah.
So. No wonder it's all just spinoffs of people who left.
Yeah. Well, I know all about being fueled by spite, so it makes the world go round.
Yeah. You know, hey, it works. Interesting stuff, you know?
Yeah.
For sure. And speaking of interesting stuff, is that how I want to transition this? To my happy marriage?
Speaking of spite.
Speaking of spite and how it's bad to want to be spiteful. I don't know. I don't know what's happening in these episodes. But let's talk about it. Maybe I'll read my summary and remember what happened in these episodes. All right. So here we are at the end. It turns out episode 13 is not Novi A. It's actually just the last episode of the season because this is an episode longer than last season. So here we go. My happy marriage.
No child.
No kids.
No little.
What's his face?
We never existed.
Only exists in the OVA universe. Wild. My Happy Marriage, episode 12, is called Feelings Beyond Dreams. We open on Naoshi and Arata being confronted by Kyoka and Mio from last episode. Mio says that she won't help Naoshi, so Naoshi pulls out a knife and he's like, well, I guess I'm killing Kyoka then. That's my plan. To 1v1 the strongest guy ever. Everybody's master plan always involves 1v1ing Kyoka, and I find it bizarre. That being said, Kyoka and Naoshi start to fight. Kyoka puts up a pretty good fight, but Naoshi's illusions are too much, and Kyoka starts losing, so maybe this actually was a good plan. Elsewhere, Tadakiya, or whatever Kyoka's dad's name is, Goto and Kazushi break into HQ, and they've pretty much wrecked the rest of the Gifted Communion. So I guess that's basically dealt with now. Back in the fight, Kyoka is getting beat pretty bad, and now she decides to trap him in a dream where he only sees images of Mio being killed by Onis over and over and over again. He's like, this is gonna destroy your spirit. And Kyoka's like, no. Mio tries to intervene, but she's stopped by Arata. And then Mio, for some reason, starts to pass out unexpectedly and gets a future vision of Naoshi and Arata killing each other. She regains her composure, but doesn't say anything about this to anyone.
I guess if she's like about to pass, is that she has to be unconscious? No, she doesn't. We've seen her be conscious and use her abilities. But.
It's very much like it's very funny that she's the dream maiden, so she has dream powers, but they're basically the same thing as Takahito's future vision. So it's like, well, she needs to fall asleep to see the future. So she's going to take a quick nap. She's like a narcoleptic now. So she's just going to like pass out briefly and come back so she can have this vision. She turns her attention back to Kyoka and decides to do something, so she drags all four of them into the dream realm. Kyoka's nightmare is dispelled, and the four of them all stand in the infinite pond. Mio tells Naoshi that she has come to stop him, and she's not going to help him with his plan. Naoshi's like, well, dang, that was my only part of my plan, it was to convince you. Naoshi tells Mio that they are the same, since power is ultimately what saved them. But Mio counters, saying that Kyoka saved her and power had nothing to do with it. And now she's like, that's weird, because I feel like the only reason you're able to save Kyoka in the first place is because you have the huge magical powers, right? Like, right? Obviously, that's what happened. We're the same. And Kyoka's like, and Mio's like, okay, well, yeah, but I don't use my powers to hurt people. And now she's like, well, you haven't done that yet, but you might later. I mean, you've only done this for like 2 days. But Mio affirms that she won't let others get caught up in her powers. She's not going to do that. Now she's like, all right, well, I'm just going to keep fighting you then. But then Mio destroys his knife since they're in like the dream world and it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
She tells Naoshi that the suffering he's inflicted on others is unjustifiable. And now she's like, well, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not trying to justify it. And anyway, that's not going to change my mind. So Mio runs over and slaps him instead.
Well, that'll do it.
Mio tells him that Sumi would not approve of what he's been doing, and she recaps their backstory and commiserates with Naoshi what it's like to lose a loved one. She's like, I also love my mom and she died. But still, you can't be like doing all this stuff, man. You can't just go around killing people because you're sad. My mom wouldn't want you to do that. You have to respect her feelings. And she begs him to stop his wicked plan. But now she isn't having it and summons some like weird black goop to attack Mio and Kyoka. And Arana's about to shoot him. But Mio recognizes that this is the start of the vision where they kill each other, because he like shoots him at the beginning of that and like tells Arana to stop. But then Kyoka and Mio are about to be crushed by the goop. When suddenly the ghost of Sumi shows up and dispels it.
The goop.
It's like weird black tendrils that are like liquid.
It's not every day goop makes an appearance on the Shoujo podcast. What? I'm enjoying.
What is this?
Joseph goop.
I'm just kind of describing what happened in my summation. I don't know if you have opinions on it. It's very weird. I feel like I should just get through this weird fever dream of things that happen.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Now she tells Ghost Sumi that he will remake the world so they can both live happily. But Ghost Sumi says that he's done great harm to her family. And now she's like, well, I guess like you were the most important thing to me, but the most important thing to you was your family. But like, don't you think you were being kind of manipulated by your family? Like, marrying you off to the Sayamoris was bad. It didn't really like solve anything. And in the end, like, all the sacrificing you did for your family was like kind of a mistake, right? Like if we look at what happened objectively, I can make the future you want with Mio's help, and then the family will be safe.
To be fair, the family, her father didn't want her to do it, and she went ahead and did it on her own. So the family didn't make her. She freaking like worked around it to do it.
Yeah. This was like her idea.
So, yep. My guy, don't you know? Ugh.
Yeah. But Sumi's like, no, I'm not accepting that. And he's like, she's like, instead you can come with me to the afterlife, I guess? But now she's like, I'm not gonna do that either. Now she stabs himself and Mio freaks out, but Arana's like, no, it's like Inception. He's waking himself up. The dream collapses and Mio is brought to the Gears of Time, where she's just like floating in an area with clock gears in it. And Sumi congratulates Mio for ushering a new era that'll be even better. This was weird. Anyway,
I was going to say, we're jumping the gun a little bit on like congratulating. I think we don't even know what happened yet.
Yeah, we're not even at the end of the conflict. Mio wakes back up in the real world and sees a bleeding Naoshi about to attack somebody, but his powers stop all of the sudden for some reason, and Arata shoots him. Naoshi, who's gotten shot, throws a knife and stabs Arata, and they both fall down. And Mio's like, this is just like my dream, except that instead of getting stabbed in the head, he got stabbed in the side. So Arata's fine. Mio runs to Arata and he asks her to forgive him. A dying Naoshi is visited by the ghost of Sumi, and they both transform into kids in a vision and run into the sunlight. So I guess he did go with her in the end. Now she's dead did and not, Arata. What?
Does he, okay, sorry. Does he get to do that if he's like, no, I'm not going to, I don't want to leave willingly, but I still get to dream of, or like, afterlife, whatever, with Sumi, even though I didn't listen to her memory and whatever, when he gets everything she wanted, he still gets a happy ending, kind of,
I guess. Sure, why not? Anyway, right. Now she's dead and Arata is in critical condition, but otherwise it's mission accomplished, so good work everybody. Mio asks Kyoka what the point of superpowers are if you can't save everyone, and Kyoka hugs her and says that she did all she could. We also learned that the emperor was recovered. Great, good for him. We don't get to see it, we're just told this. Also, they beat back the army and the threat is over now, and Goto and Kazushi flirt some more as we cut to credits.
Oh, man.
This episode was wild. There's just stuff happening. Stuff that I just don't know.
Can't be bothered to think through.
What do you think about? What do you think about completely. What happened in this episode?
I mean, again, we're, I don't know, it feels I don't know. Now she gets a pretty bow on his end, kind of. He didn't have to surrender his ideals. He didn't have to give in. It just kind of ended abruptly, and he gets his little whatever with Sumi.
Yeah.
And then I guess it's cool. Arata just is now on their side. No, like, emphasis or no, like, focus on Arata. Like, oh, wait, Arata really is on our side, blah, 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 whatever. Or at least not in this episode.
Yep. Nope.
I'm just ready for this to be over.
It's very weird. Like, okay, it does the thing that I said it was probably going to do. This is very Korra season one, as I've said before, where big questions that are brought up by the existence of the Gifted Communion about giving everybody, trying to, like, give everybody magical power so it's not just held by the aristocratic elite and, you know, the government's lying to you and they're, like, suppressing us. All that stuff completely thrown away just to be, like, a character drama about now she not being able to accept that the girl he likes dies. And so that just becomes the main focus. We don't even touch on any of the other stuff, right? Like, Mio's entire plan to be like, I'll just convince him to not be a bad guy by saying that Sumi wouldn't have wanted this, can be completely countered by now she's saying, like, oh, well, I met other people who were wronged by the government and they have legitimate grievances. And then Mio wouldn't have anything to counter with that. But he doesn't do that because it's not, it's just about him. It's not about anybody else. So that just completely falls apart. This is the end of this arc. Like, next episode is just, like, cleanup stuff, mostly about, like, Kyoka and Mio's relationship. So, like, it's just over. There's a scene last episode where now she tells his, like, second in command to go deal with the Navy. I guess he just did nothing. Like, I don't understand what this plan is, where now she's like, I'm going to convince Mio to join, but he didn't really have an argument. He's just, like, going to threaten to kill Kyoka if she doesn't do what he says, which is, like, not a plan that makes a lot of sense. It's just, the whole thing is just, it feels like we're just trying to wrap it up as fast as physically possible. So everyone's just kind of, like, shout the themes of the show.
Yeah.
And then Arata will just shoot him. Which, honestly, he should have just done earlier. He could have done this at any point, I guess, and waited till now. So,
true. Yep.
You know, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. Mio got to do stuff, well, I guess. That's fun. She got to use her magical powers to drag them all into the realm. I don't understand why Sumi is sticking around. Like, is she actually Sumi? Like, is she a spirit that's here and gets to talk to people?
There's no explanation of that, really. Not that this is a show of explaining things to us, but
like, what's her deal? What is Sumi's deal? Like, how does she actually feel about her life and the fact that she had to, like, get married off to these, like, random people because the emperor was messing with all her stuff? She just seems totally, like, it doesn't matter.
Well, I guess she was terminally ill, so it's like, what was she gonna do with the time she had? Maybe is the argument there. Like, what can she do with the time she has left? I guess other routes could be like, I don't know, I can't be sure this is how it'll turn out without me around.
Yeah, the whole exchange in the middle where, like, now she's like, oh, you're just like me. You needed to use power to, like, change the conditions of your life for the better. And Mio's like, no, I needed Kyoka, the strongest guy in the world, to use his power to change things. Like, I just don't, the whole thing rings totally hollow for me.
Yep.
Like, I think it's not bad that you use power to change things for the better. That's not, like, an inherently bad thing. And the fact that you'd have to, like, confront people who stand in opposition to you in a manner that can be violent is also not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes you just have to do stuff like that, even if you don't want to, because that's the only way to resolve the situation. Mio, you blew up the Emperor last season, but then they took it away from you. They should have killed him. This whole conversation would have been, if now she just dropped, like, but you killed the Emperor, that would have changed the whole thing and would have been way more interesting. Yeah, but whatever. It's over, I guess. They beat whatever now she's not. Like, the fact that now she was just able to control all of the army guys through, like, mind control while also doing this fight and doing all this other stuff, I don't really understand how that worked. Can you just do it? I guess you could just do it. Whatever.
Yep. don't ask any questions.
Why?
As we've left as the answer for things many times in this series.
Why escalate the stakes of the show that much for this arc? Like, it couldn't just be like, now she as an individual is going after Mio, right? And like the state, it doesn't involve the entire government and he doesn't topple the entire army. Like, I feel like this whole thing could have been done on a much smaller scale where the stakes would have been high on like a personal level still, but it wouldn't have been like, oh no, how are we going to deal with the Navy? All of the ministers of the government are here and they're like weird traitors. And like, this should be a bigger deal than it is being treated as.
Totally. You really, sorry. God, you really think a lot, Joe. You're like thinking.
This is a thing that has bothered me in a lot of like modern shows, just in general, like across the board, which is like, in order to make things feel important, we have heightened the stakes up to a point where like nothing can realistically make any sense anymore. And it all just becomes kind of nonsense melodrama. Mm. This could have been smaller stakes, right? Like it could have been a small thing. And the drama still could have been really high because you could have dug into more about how, like, it really affects each of the characters. Like, we could have spent time with, like, Arata and thinking about his position and how it's similar to Naoshi and all this other stuff. If we didn't have to, like, focus on will Takahito and the other guy suss out which minister is the turncoat, which they don't even do, by the way. There's no payoff for that at all. So, like, I don't know. It's just a mess. It's too big. It should have just been smaller.
Yeah. It would have been better in all regards, because what we want out of this is intimacy anyways. And the Navy and the whatever is not contributing to that at all.
Yeah.
But I guess at least we get some of that.
We get some of that in the last episode.
This last episode.
So maybe we should just touch on that.
Yeah.
All right. My Happy Marriage, Season 2, Episode 13, is called Once Spring Has Come. We open on Mio and Kyoka hugging. Mio informs us that she considers her mission failed because now she was killed instead of her changing his mind. We learn that the Gifted Communion was defeated and everything went back to normal, basically. Even though...
I guess all those followers weren't that upset about it. They just let it go after... Yeah, it's like, bye-bye.
Yep. Everything's back to normal. Just ignore the fact that the minister of the army is dead and the minister of education betrayed us all. And there were probably lots and lots of people involved in this, but don't worry about it. It's fine. Mio returns home and lives mostly normally. We cut to later where Kyoka is handing in his letter of resignation to General Okaito, and Kyoka recommends Goto as his successor. This kind of comes out of nowhere, I feel like.
Yeah, for real.
Was this his
arc?
For
real, for real.
This must have been what Kyoka's arc was in the light novels or something.
I get. I am like, okay, whatever. This means he can focus on his wife, I get. He's not that old. It seems rather premature.
He's 27. We know this.
Yeah.
Or 28.
Or like take a desk job or so. I don't know, dude.
He's rich. He doesn't have to do anything.
Wait till you have a kid, at least, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, it just seems...
I mean, whatever. Quit the army. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah. It's not like he wanted to do it in the first place anyways.
Yeah. If I had to save the Emperor twice and I didn't get, like, huge payouts, I would also be quitting. I'd be like, are you kidding me?
And you couldn't even confirm if the Emperor had been saved because no one's put eyes on him.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be like, listen, I'm retiring. You're going to pay me $100,000 every 6 months. Forever. Maybe more. Maybe a month. Give me money. I deserve it. I'm going home. Anyway, elsewhere, Mio visits Arata at the hospital, and Arata explains that he was able to gain Naoshi's trust since they have similar backstories, and he joined as a spy, but wasn't really planning on assassinating him. It just kind of happened. What were you planning then, dude?
Nothing.
This was
absolutely nothing.
This was the most whatever explanation I've ever heard. First off, is he not under arrest? Is he not... I mean, he shot Kyoka in the cell. Like, he shot him multiple times. Are we just cool with this? We're all good? No, like, we don't even get a scene of Takahito being like, oh, don't arrest him. He's my guy. But, like, what was he telling you? You didn't do anything. They didn't head off the plan. They didn't stop him from taking over the entire army. What was Arata a spy for? What did he do?
Jack shit.
I don't understand what he was doing. Anyway, whatever. He apologizes to Mio for the trouble she went through, and she's like, it's cool. She confesses that she feels bad that she couldn't change Naoshi's mind, though. She's like, in the end, I guess I failed. but whatever. Kyoka comes in to take Mio on a date because that's what's important. We're going on a date. Who cares about it? Forget that storyline. Not important. We're going on a date now.
Yeah.
We cut to Hazuki.
Done.
Mm-hmm.
Done. I've forgotten about it. Let's do
it. Okay. We cut to Hazuki and Fuyu arguing over what type of wedding dress Mio should wear because that's what they're doing. They're going dress. Well, they went to the dressmaker. Mio, Kyoka, and Yurie are also there. The dressmaker shows them a white kimono that has been passed down in the Kudo family that she has, like, restored. And Hazuki says that she wore that during her wedding, and now it's Mio's turn, and Mio starts to tear up and says that she thought all of her family heirlooms were gone when she lived with the Sayamoris because they threw them all away. But now she gets, like, to wear this instead, and that's great. That's nice. This is cool. This is cute. Fuyu gives her a handkerchief because she starts crying in a very tsundere way, and Hazuki teases her. It's very weird to be like, this is your daughter.
Well, this is the first time we're seeing them interact with each other. Yeah. Is this the last episode? Yeah.
Ugh, too bad we didn't get more of them. That would have been fun.
Yeah.
Kyoka and Miyu get lunch, and Kyoka comments that this is where they went when they, like, first met, or, like, around the time they first met. And then he reminisces about how much things have changed since then. And we get a montage of them doing things together, like going to the library and going on a walk. That's fun.
Yeah, that's nice.
Eventually, they get home and they find Takakura waiting for them. They meet with him and he offers Mio a position in the government under Takahito as a surveillance state agent. They're like, the Asubas are too powerful to let loose, but they're also useful. Do you want your family's old job back? And Mio's like, I don't know. I'm going to think about it.
Interesting. She doesn't strike me as someone with that ambition.
No.
She's just, she wasn't raised as a Suba. She doesn't have it drilled into her mind to center her life around the duty of a Suba.
No.
So, nah. Pass.
We cut ahead to Kyoka and Goto at Goto's father's grave. Goto asks Kyoka if he really thinks he's ready to be commander, and Kyoka is like, yeah, you're ready for it, man. You saved the emperor, kind of. You led the guys while I was in prison. You're good now. And Goto's like, but I kind of just got owned all season 1 and 2. And he's like, don't worry about it, man. It was all cool. He didn't say that. I just added that in. But he kind of just got owned. Like, I don't know.
He gets drunk.
That's good, though. We love that.
Not who I would feel like is the most suited successor, but whatever.
It's fine.
Not our problem. Yeah.
Later, Kyoka and Mio watch The Stars together, and Kyoka tells Mio that he's quitting his job, and Mio's like, what? Because I guess this is the first she's hearing about it.
Don't consult with her at all.
Kyoka.
All good. Just.
Yeah, just whatever. It's fine. Kyoka explains that he's never really felt much like a military man. He'd rather just retire with his wife. And Mio's like, that's great. I want you around all the time because we're getting married. My happy marriage. Kyoka asks Mio what she's going to do about Takahito's offer. And Mio thinks about her life up to this point and says she doesn't want to leave her home. And Kyoka agrees and they hug. It's the next day and Mio has come to reject her job offer. They meet with Takahito and he thanks them for beating Naoshi. And Kyoka's like, well, it was mostly Mio. Like, I was kind of in jail for most of it. And then Takahito asks him to leave so they can discuss Mio's job offer.
Get out of here.
See you later. Thanks for saving everybody. Get out.
He's really just a punching bag.
Takahito kind of sucks.
He's recovered quickly.
Takahito asks.
I feel like Kyoka's wounds are like maybe more severe.
They should be. I don't know how much time has passed.
Is the one in the hospital? Yeah.
I guess it's been a long time. Anyway, Takahito is like, well, Mio, what's your answer? And she says that her ability is a burden on her and understands that she would be useful for creating a new supernatural order. But honestly, she hates conflict and doesn't want to rely on her abilities or fight anybody. I gave a whole speech about this last episode, but you weren't there. She'd rather just be normal. So she's going to say no and said she's just going to live with her husband in my happy marriage. And Takahito's like, well, isn't that sweet? And he congratulates her on her newfound happiness and they leave. I'm saying this very sarcastically. It's a totally fine scene. Mio and Kyoka go out to Lookout Point and Kyoka gives Mio a fancy hairpin and he puts it in her hair. Rate this hairpin. It's pretty nice.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it was cute.
She gives him
soccer flowers, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, which is like her whole, or at least that was her mom's kimono thing.
Yeah, so. Like her motif or whatever.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
She gives him a new hair tie and she puts it in for him. They hug and Kyoka tells her how much he's missed her when he was held captive. He's nothing without her. Mio, you are my entire life, he says. And then he asks to marry her. And she says yes. This is sweet.
Mm-hmm.
That's cute. Later we cut to Mio and Kyoka in their backyard. And Kyoka says he wants to plant a sakura tree in honor of their wedding. And Mio says that's a wonderful idea. And they hold hands as we cut to credits. The end of the show. Hey, guess what we didn't get?
A marriage?
A montage credit sequence. Where's my montage credit sequence? No, I want to see little.
I can barely scrape anything together for the show itself, let alone post credit.
I want to see little 2-second cutaways of like, ooh, here's Arata doing something, reading a book. Here is their grandpa walking around. Here is
they could
Kana
do that,
and what's his face doing something together or something. I don't know. What are they up to? Who cares?
Yeah, no. And well, because you told me you had stated there was like going to be season 3, and I looked it up,
yes.
And I'm relieved to see that seems like it's going to be, or at least according to Google's AI, it'll continue with a new 3-episode special edition arriving in Netflix in 2026.
Yep.
Not labeled a full season. So
yep, 3 specials
God,
we'll
not
get.
A whole nother season. Because this feels pretty conclusion.
It feels like the end.
We're never going to get, it's always going to see that. It's just frustrating because I feel like the stuff that happens after this is the stuff I would have wanted the show to be versus like all the, you know, all the stuff that in the end they don't even care about because they grab their job or like are going to be like, psych, I don't want to use these abilities I thought I wanted my whole life.
Yeah.
The end. You know?
Yeah. But this does feel like the end.
Yes. It
does.
Maybe
we'll like those specials then.
Maybe. Yeah. Hopefully they can freaking get married and have a cute little baby.
I want them just to have like a cute, like a chill conflict. You know what I mean? Like the OVA conflict, like the OVA might be the best episode, honestly. Where it's just like Mio trying to make good with this kid who kind of hates her for no reason. That's fun.
Mm. Yeah. I guess it could be she's having a kid. Does that kid then get the, is the kid's daughter, does the daughter then get the ability? How do they protect the daughter from blah, 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 whatever, yada, yada, yada. Or something.
I want the special to be Mio hosts like a big, like day-long dinner party thing. But she has to, like, for some reason, whoever's going to watch all the kids is busy. So she has to, like, entertain all these kids, but she doesn't know how to deal with kids.
Uh-huh.
And it's all just, like, whatever. And then Kyoka's little Shikigami can make another appearance to help her deal with the kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's,
that'd be cute.
They're, like, running around and stuff. And maybe, like, Kyoka gets his head stuck in, like, a fence or something. Like, that's his conflict. You know, something goofy. Like, I want to get something more cartoony from them or something. Like fun.
No, never. That's never what we're going to
get. And shows their personality a little bit more.
This is not a fun show. I feel like that's a true statement.
She didn't tell a joke or get drunk.
No.
We failed.
Yep.
She didn't even get to blow up the Emperor. I can't believe they took that away from me still. That's the worst thing that happened.
Big upset. Well, now it's over. I know I was real sour on it. Season 1. Season 2 really was just like, for me at least, is like, this is better than season 1, but I'm relieved our coverage of it is over, so I'm excited to cover something with a bit more pep in its step. I don't know anything about Prince, what's the full name?
Revolutionary Girl Utena is our next show, so get excited,
yes.
Everybody. Because this is a show
I'm freaking stoked.
I have seen and Sarah hasn't.
Yeah.
So it's like a reverse. It's a shoujo reversal.
Yes. I guess My Happy Marriage is the first one where neither of us had seen anything about it. At least with The Sign of Affection, I had read the manga quite a bit. And so that was a risk we took. But yeah, I guess, I mean, we can start talking about where this lines up with what we've covered previously with our rankings now that we have watched it in its entirety. So we want to pull up those for anyone. If this is your first season of shoujo that you're listening along to, with each series, and we like to do rankings in certain categories, and now we're going to see how My Happy Marriage stacks up against our other 6 series that we've covered up to this point.
Yep. We're going to go through our rankings, which we ranked this one previously, but we didn't actually say it. We haven't ever ranked it on air.
We did do all categories because there's right. like, oh, we still got a whole nother season.
Yes. So, this, yeah, for the first time that you all are hearing, we know each other's stuff, which we've known for a while. You're getting our new ranking, starting with overall show. How do we want to do this? Bottom up?
Sure.
We never decide.
Let's bottom up.
Bottom up.
Well, I like if we do our both of our, where we go through each tier. You say yours, I say mine, and then we move on to the next one rather than just listing all of them together.
Okay.
I guess it's maybe faster that way. What do you think?
Yeah. I don't think we need to explain all of the ones we've seen before. I think we should only explain the ones,
right.
the new yep. ones.
Just the ones.
Or if something that, moved.
Yep. Yes.
So we can talk about our yes. bottom. Bottom of the barrel. Out of our yep. seven shows now, we've watched seven whole shows. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
My number seven is Chihayafuru. Still sticking to the bottom.
And my bottom one is this one. If you guys can guess from how much I was just
hater all the way through
on it at the beginning.
All the way
yes,
through.
Yes. My Happy Marriage.
You were kind of intense about it at the beginning, about how much you hated it. It was fine at the beginning.
Yeah. I've mellowed out a bit, but I just really did not like it at the beginning.
Yep. Number six for me is My Happy Marriage. So yeah, it was also living pretty low. Shouldn't have escalated the stakes. Escalating the stakes is always a mistake, almost every time, unless you really got it planned out. You know what I mean? Season one was pretty solid, mm-hmm. actually, because it was like just contained enough. Season two tried to do too much, ended up doing very little. Sorry.
True. Mine's Angelic Layer.
Yep. And then we could just rock it through the rest of it, because mine's in the same order as last time. Yep. Number five for me is Kimi ni Todoke.
And for me, it's Skip Beat.
Number four is A Sign of Affection.
For both of us.
There you go. Number three is Skip Beat.
And for me, it's Chihayafuru.
My number two is Angelic Layer.
Mine's Kimi ni Todoke.
And at the top of the list for both of us is The Rose of Versailles. Still sticking around.
Yes. You think Rose of Versailles will get toppled by Utena?
Maybe.
Since you've already seen
it. It's a possibility.
Ooh, okay. I'm looking forward to that. What? We only like old ones.
I mean, that says something, right? The thing is with old movies and old TV shows is that the reason you hear about them is because they have remained good over time. Whereas new stuff, sometimes it's good in the moment. Sometimes it's not good, but people say it's good. You don't necessarily know. So it's way easier to get like, you know, you don't hear about the mid-tier movies and TV shows from like,
a long time.
30 years ago, because nobody talks about them. So, old stuff tends to be good because you know what's good.
Mm-hmm. Good point. All right. Our protagonist rankings.
At the bottom, number eight, because The Rose of Versailles gets two protagonists, is Chihaya. Mm-hmm. Still at the bottom.
For me, Marie Antoinette. Freaking hate that chick. Yep. Still.
Number seven for both of us is Misaki. Kind of the neutral break-even line for me.
Yep.
Number six for me is Marie Antoinette. You gotta just like a ridiculous fancy lady.
I mean, Chihaya is my number six. Not fancy at all.
Number five for me is Sawako from Kimi
and
ni
for
Todoke.
Me it's Mio from My Happy Marriage. I really disliked her. She would have been second from the bottom if we had settled on just season one, probably. So season two, she stepped it up a bit.
Yep. My number four is Mio. You're right. Season two boosts it up. She has a good character arc in season one, but we don't get to spend very much time with her on the other side of it. So season two, the only thing it really accomplishes for me is the Mio stuff, which is good.
Yep. For me, number four is Yuki from A Sign of Affection.
Yep.
Just generically nice.
Yep. She's good getting out there. She's my number three.
Mm-hmm. And Oscar is my number three.
My number two is Oscar.
And mine's Sawako.
And then both of our number ones is Kyoko from Skip Beat.
Yeah.
We like them rowdy.
It'll be interesting to see. So Rose of Versailles is the best show overall. Protagonist, we've got Skip Beat's Kyoko. And then like the next, you know, it's like, does each one have like, is there like each series has like a strong point that, you know,
I mean, that's true.
Interesting to see. No, I guess we'll get to it once we can talk about that once we get to all of them. But it's interesting to see.
We've got like Hall of Famers at this point. Like, all right, couples. We have more couples now. We have 10 total couples because there are a couple from each show. This one only had Mio and Kyoka, so be on the lookout for that. At the very bottom, at number 10, we both have Fersen and Marie. Disaster couple. Awful.
Blech.
At number 9, I have Chihaya and Arata.
Not even a couple. Really, just the closest thing we got.
We had to put somebody on the list from them.
Yep. I've got Ayane and Kent, mostly. Nope. This is where it's like, Sarah, shut up. We're not explaining why you think that. We've already talked about it in the past. Ayane and Kent is number 9 for me.
My number 8, which I will also not describe, is Ayane and Kent. We've already talked about this.
Mm-hmm. I have Bernard and Rosalie.
Yep, I have Bernard and Rosalie, which is kind of my neutral couple there. Like one I don't really feel anything about.
Mm-hmm. I've got Chihaya and Arata there.
Number 7, yep. Number 6, I have Kyoka and... No, I have Kyoya and Rin. Who are they?
From A Sign of Affection.
They're from A Sign of Affection.
Okay, right. We have like... Some of our shows, we have multiple couples, and some of them, we only have one. We don't even have a couple from Skip Beat on
this.
We
don't, because we never got there. That's the problem with Skip Beat, is it never... We never cashed in.
We did it with Chihaya either. Yeah,
that's true.
We might have to rethink this couple's ranking at some point.
Kyoya and Rin's also yours. Number 5 is Mio and Kyoka. For both of us.
For both of us, yeah.
Solid number 5.
A couple.
They're a couple.
The most couple. Out of all our couples, technically, since they're engaged.
Yeah, but it took them too long to kiss. You know, they should have done more couple stuff.
Yeah. She swerved him.
She swerved him.
He didn't always get a kiss. That's what they say on Love Island. When if someone dodges a kiss, they say you get swerved.
Okay. Yep. So, you know.
Okay.
Number 4 for me is Kazehaya and Sawako. Teens.
And I've got Oscar and Andre.
Mm-hmm. Number 3 for me is Oscar and Andre.
And for me, Kazehaya and Sawako.
Number 2 for both of us is Chizu and Ryu. And then number 1 is Itsuomi and Yuki.
Itsuomi, Yuki.
Maybe the most official couple. I mean, they're not as...
The best, like fulfilling, like not... dumb miscommunication stuff couple we've got. They just like each other, and it's not crazy for that to be the case, you know? It just works.
Yep.
He does nice things for her, blah blah blah.
It's good. That show is about them being a couple, so it helps.
Yes.
Whereas My Happy Marriage is very much not about getting married.
No.
Maybe for this next one we can just run through individually. At the bottom of side characters. This is side characters. So we pick one side character from each show that we liked the best. We both have Godo at the bottom.
Yep.
Burning for side characters. My Happy Marriage had no side characters that showed up a lot. Maybe Hazuki should be here.
Or they get the boot real fast. Oh, yeah.
But her getting owned and not using your superpowers in a cool way really takes a lot of points away from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just run up mine from bottom to top, and then you can just run up yours. So 6 is Moko from Skip Beat. 5 is Rin. 4 is Karumi. 3 is Taichi. 2 is Hitoko from Angelic Lair. And 1 is John from The Rose of Versailles.
And I've got, after Godo, it's Rosalie, Moko, Rin, Sai, who is from Angelic Lair. That was my strong, like, that's who I'm picking. Love that lady. Ayane. From Kimi Todoki, and then Taichi number 1. Taichi, my boy.
Yeah. Opening songs.
Side characters.
Should we just run through? I don't really remember these opening songs.
We just have it. We only have one good opening song, honestly.
We do.
They're all meh, except for...
All right, at the top, we have The Rose of Versailles for a good opening song, and then everything else is whatever. Who cares?
What? Yep.
When we have another notable opening song, we'll rank it.
Yeah.
Let's get to the real ranking. The mom ranking.
The real
where
one.
We rank the main character's moms.
And where everyone's mom, except the only time someone's mom, well, I guess we could be putting Sumi. Sumi is like,
oh yeah, we have her name. We do. We just have Mio's mom because we didn't.
Yeah. Because mostly they're not really a character except for Angelic Lair and My Happy Marriage.
Yep.
But
all right. Worst moms. Not number 7. I have Kyoko's mom from Skip Beat, who we do not meet, but we only hear terrible things about.
Got Shoko. Freaking hate that lady from Angelic Lair.
My number 6 is Shoko. Pretty bad still.
Yeah. And then my number 6 is Kyoko's mom.
And then we agree on number 5, which is Yuki's mom. Learn sign language.
The mother of a daughter. Yeah. Who's deaf and you don't learn sign language. That sucks.
Number four, we have Oscar's mom, kind of the blank slate one who is just kind of chill, yeah, but doesn't do anything.
Nope. Yeah.
Number three, I have Sumi, who
yes
is good.
Dropped.
I don't really know what's going on, what her deal
dropped
is. I think you should have overthrown the emperor. I think you and Naoshi should have teamed up and just broke the bonds that destroyed your whole life and not set up your daughter to be like miserable if she didn't happen to marry the strongest guy in the world who fell in love with her. I don't think you should count on that, Sumi.
Yeah, that's true. You don't know that was going to happen. Was going to happen to her. Just forever suck it up. Yeah, good point. I've got Chihaya's mom as number three.
My number two is Chihaya's mom. She was nice. Yeah.
I've got Sumi there.
Yep. And then the number one mom is Sawako's mom, who's yes, also nice and kind of cool and makes jokes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yay. So Kimi ni Todoke has the best mom. Rose of Versailles has the best opening and is the best overall. Yep. And then we've got freaking A Sign of Affection has the best couple. Mm-hmm. And then Skip Beat has the best protagonist. So Angelic Layer, I mean, if we look at this, Angelic Layer, weaker, My Happy Marriage, weaker. Neither one of those have anything in the top.
Yeah. Well, Chihaya Furu, I would say they have Tai Chi. I think Tai Chi is a side character because he's your number one and my number three. So I feel like that averages out pretty high.
Yes. Yeah. Tai Chi.
Yeah.
They can, yeah.
So,
take Rain.
Angelic Layer, I mean, I guess side characters. I have Itoko 2 and you have Psy 3. That's probably pretty good. Mm-hmm. What doesn't have anything?
By Happy Marriage.
Happy Marriage. Yeah.
Not.
That's a bummer.
It's just kind of at its best, middle of the
lowest showing overall, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But at least it was short, you know, and we went through it and there were parts of it that were good. It's a genuinely nice looking show is the thing. Like the scenes you watch and like there are sequences that are really beautiful to look at and very nice. I think season two Eye Catch in particular is really cool. I'm kind of like, I should make that my desktop background.
Those are so great. Yeah, those were really nice. I've recently been like, I should get into bird watching. Even. Uh-huh. I'm like, I like all these little birds. So,
I honestly, it feels like there's a problem with newer shows. I feel like where they're just so heavily compressed into like 12 or 13 episodes.
Yeah.
And it just kind of washes the whole thing out. And because they're adapting everything and they're trying to stay faithful to that, they end up doing all the stuff that like probably had more time to breathe in the source material. So I don't know.
Yeah.
The landscape is bad. They should just let shows have more episodes.
If there's a good thing about My Happy Marriage, I think, you know, covering a newer show, we at least saw some more chatter from some new listeners. So that's been nice. The source material, I guess, is good enough that people are finding us and commenting, providing more information about that. So, and it's getting a little third release of some content. So people hopefully just. The fact that this show, which is just kind of subpar compared to older ones, is getting extra content means that there's like a desire for more shoujo-esque shows in the future. But yeah, that's it. That's freaking My Happy Marriage.
Yep.
On to the next thing. Next week.
Which is Revolutionary Girl Utena, the TV series. You can watch that on YouTube under Nozomi's
Dub or Sub
official account. And you can change the settings. It'll be one playlist that says Revolutionary Girl Utena. It'll default. It'll say sub in the name of the episode, but you can go to settings and change the audio track to English if you want the dub. You can also change, you know, you can keep the annotations, I think what they call it. It's the closed captions.
Yeah.
So you should be able to watch that no problem. I think everybody should be able to watch that.
Yeah. Sweet. So thanks for joining us for this coverage. And if you liked the show more than us or your team blah with Sarah, you can let us know.
Please let us know what happens in the light novel. I'm very interested to see how the stuff is supposed to shake out. Because we got such a truncated version here. I can't imagine the light novel played out in the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which you can do in our YouTube comments or on Spotify comments or DM us on socials, primarily Instagram, or even in a Apple Podcast review, where we also appreciate a nice rating so that other people like you can find us.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're enjoying making the podcast, and yeah, we're gonna start our eighth series now.
Our eighth series. We've been doing this for a while.
2 years for seven series. Chihaya was really long, I guess, and then Rose of Versailles was a bit long, but I guess Chihaya is really what killed us.
That one was super long. We broke that one up, but it's pretty long. But I mean, we you know, it's important for us to get used to that kind of thing, because a lot of the shows we're interested in covering are pretty long, especially because we like the older ones. The problem is that we like old shows, and old shows ran for maybe a little too long in some cases.
Yes. The era of fillers. We're not getting fillers as much these days.
Yeah, the era of broadcast television, you have to fill the slot every week so we can get that advertising money. Really, real different than now, where it's like you're lucky if you can get two seasons of 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes. Hot times have changed. Back in our day.
That's right.
But yeah. Awesome. What did we learn? What's our last lesson learned from My Happy Marriage?
Our final happy marriage lesson.
Haven't you seen a show about seeing the future before? Even if you do something to change it, it's really just going to be the same. It just might happen in a different way, you know, than you saw it. It's freaking Mio. Nope, that was terrible. Don't. Sorry, this is Joe's segment. Don't impede on. Lesson learned. Don't take Joe's segment.
No, you do the segment too. I think it's good.
Nah.
I'm going to say, take some initiative when picking your aesthetic motifs. You know what I mean? Like, Mio is saying that she's going to be Sakura's. That's pretty good. Kyoko kind of got stuck with hair ties, you know? He's just like the hair tie guy. He's got to take
a... You know what would be better than a hair tie is like a little cling for a sword hilt or something. You know, like a little sword accessory?
Oh, okay, okay. Thing?
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. Something, you know?
Flair, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have anything better than that. Like, don't back down ever, and you'll still get to go to the afterlife with your girlfriend, I guess.
Yes, that's right. Stand your ground.
I don't like how this show treats... Okay, this is just upsetting me. I'm going to blame Demon Slayer for this, even though it's probably not its fault. I don't think people understand, what redemption means, or what coming to terms with things means.
Why? Because we have to learn about the sad story of demons.
Because the way these things keep operating is I learned your tragic backstory, and I'm gonna stop you, but I'm gonna say, gee, you sure had a tragic backstory. I sure hope in your next life something good happens to you, and then they die. That's how we're resolving stuff. But you can do actual redemption. You can have them come to a realization of what they've done is wrong, and then they can take an actual effort to make things better. That's how redemption works, is you try to redeem yourself by improving, by making up for the mistakes that you did and trying to improve the lives of other people. We can do that. It's possible. You don't have to just kill them off at the end and be like, I hope they find peace in the afterlife. That's lame. We don't have to do that.
Yeah, for real.
But I guess what we learned is never back down. Just go down with the ship. It's fine. Whatever. You don't have to deal with the Navy. It doesn't matter.
Nope. Yep. On that note, it doesn't matter. We'll catch you guys next week. Disclaimer. I am having to shift my editing software, so who knows what this is going to sound like next time.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully not terrible, but brace for a slight change.
All right.
Ominous future.
Just in time for the new show. Very fun.
Yeah.
Get hype, everybody. Yep, I'm hype.
All right. I feel like I have been very quiet and less excited about this show. So I'm excited for something new.
Yeah.
Sorry, Joe's mom.
All right.
But yeah.
See you guys next time.